And that will do it. The Colts gave the Titans all they had, but the Titans had more. And Tennessee, for only the second time in 10 years, has knocked off Indianapolis at Nissan Stadium. Titans are 2-1, Colts are 0-3. It is a big division win. Your final score, Tennessee 25, Indianapolis 16, as Titans get it done again.
11-6 in the second half. That was weird. So where are you on this game? A win against a division opponent, whatever it looks like, is a win against a division opponent, except for especially that one.
Especially that one.
Titans have won 3 out of the last 4 against the Colts. Before that, you go back to 2008, Colts ran off, what was it, 19-3?
Couldn't sniff a win.
Or it was 16-3 over 19 games. That's what it was. But yeah. 3 turnovers, man, there was a lot to check in that game, for sure. But a win is a win is a win. So is that where you come down?
In this game, yes.
Because of who they were playing?
Because of who they – because I think people are losing sight of – rivalries, regardless of what records are, what guys show up and play, man, it's nasty. And what should be known, because we ask a lot of the young guys that come on and younger fans and younger listeners, who is the Titans' biggest rivalry? And all of them say the Colts. Hands down, it ain't a question about it. Me, I'm always going to say Baltimore. But
that's where I am on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, but they don't understand that. So they have to, I mean, they should expect these games to be tight. Like, and the game's not over until zeros hit the clock. Like, it easily can go the other way. But
which one would you rather be? Win ugly and be the Titans, or lose pretty like you're the 49ers last night when you were up with 30 seconds to go and Aaron Rodgers got the lead?
Yeah, that's what I'm got saying. The ball. I mean, everybody takes a win.
Give me win.
I'd rather question things than a win, right?
Yeah, like, without question.
Yeah, so that
– without question.
Without question, you question. So defensively, though, eyeball test, just watching the pressure that this group puts on the quarterback – I feel like they're going to get better and better and better. And when Bud Dupree is out there and healthy and all those things, that helps, right? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you get Amani Hooker back, like, things like that help for yeah. sure. But you've developed depth. You've developed a rotational player. David Long Jr., you're fine with him out there mm-hmm. anytime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Adaney, like, good Lord, 29 snaps. He affected the game like that.
Yeah.
A sack and sure. a half. And 3 quarterback hits.
And even though DeNico didn't have a sack or a tackle, like he was sniffing. And see, that's when in plays, when you see Carson Wentz throwing in the ground when other people would try to create.
Just waste it down.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's good.
615-737-1045. We got some very patient people. Let's do it. McKenzie in White House. McKenzie, what's up, man?
Yo, how y'all doing?
All right.
Good, man.
Let me clear my throat.
Well, I was at the game yesterday, so You're lucky you're getting this.
Beautiful. Dude, I'll say this. Real quick, since you brought that up, on the TV copy, it was loud.
Yeah.
It was rocking.
Crowd sounded legit. Was it legit in person?
Yes. We were definitely bringing the hype train. We need to bring more of it the rest of the year.
Word up.
Right, so I just realized, first off, my original point, I'll get to that. I just realized 3HL stands for 3 hours long, right?
3HL, yeah, 3 hours long.
3 hour lunch.
Call me
3 hours
long. I've
lunch.
Been waiting for 2.
I get it, man. We got a lot to do on this show. And we appreciate you holding. But listen, if you're on hold and can't make it, then drop off and call back. That's fine. All good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you're good. So, my mind was blown yesterday because I got invited to the game to somebody's season tickets, and we were lower level right behind the field goal post. And I've been calling Jeffrey Swain with an M for 2 years, and I saw his jersey, I was like, that's an M. I never realized this man was Jeffrey Swain.
Well, when they signed him, the first question to the head coach was about Jason Swain, which was really funny to me.
Oh, yeah, because that's our Knoxville bud.
But, and man, then, yeah, he's about good.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Nope, you're good, go.
I was just saying, he's doing well.
But, yeah, another thing about Carson Wentz not being able to move, I felt so bad for that man having to start yesterday because watching him warm up, They had that man's ankles wrapped like a mummy. He looked like he could barely step 2 feet and not even pitch his feet.
I mean, he gutted it out. And here's the deal, and especially at that level, like, if they don't – by the way, thanks for the call, McKenzie.
Thank you, McKenzie.
If they feel like their backup gives them a better chance at 100% than their starter at 70, they're going with the backup. So clearly – the Colts did not feel that. They felt a 70%, which, you know, on the broadcast, Frank Reich apparently told the sideline reporter, like, hey, what I needed to see from him was confidence that he would play his game and it wouldn't affect him. And that's exactly what we saw in warmups from him, kind of thing. Fine. But they clearly felt like a mummy ankle wrapped Carson Wentz gave them a better chance to win than any kind of backup. So
mummy
there you
wrapped,
go.
Carson Wentz.
I mean, that's funny. I know
did they
exactly
just put them all in bubble wrap and just
probably,
put them out there?
Because you
he
know,
couldn't move, man.
You wrap those ankles on top of the shoes, and so they don't go anywhere. Now, what I always worry about is a flat-out break if something gets caught, right? Because you're taped up so tight. I always worry about that. Anyway.
You good?
Yeah. No, I was just going to say with the Swaim stuff, 3 of 4 for 27 yards
that
and
was
some
good
key catches.
Because he had some drops in the first
three
games.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, now everybody knows it's an M and not an N.
Blocked well, too. Alex in Hendersonville next up. Alex, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you, Alex.
I just had really something important to say about Derrick Henry. And I don't know if I came on the show and said it last year, but before the season last year, I predicted he would run for 2,000. This year, with an extra game, he will break Dickerson's record. And these next two games coming up, I would not be surprised to see him run for 200 each game. Thank y'all for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks. The Jets, I haven't dove into it like I will probably tonight. But what I hear about the Jets is actually they're not bad on defense. They just can't get anything going on offense. So that affects everything. But I would think that he would have the opportunity to have some gash runs in the next 2 weeks.
At the moment, Tennessee has faced three of the worst running attacks or running defenses in the NFL,
right,
but it's because they've played the Titans.
Exactly, because their opponents have played three games and they're one of them, yeah, and Derrick Henry's.
The only two that have worse run defenses are the Chiefs and Chargers.
Let's go AJ in Nashville. AJ, what's up, man?
What's going on? What's going on? Look. Like she said, Coach Vrabel don't get no Florida. He actually don't get no Sugar Honey Iced Tea. but I'm happy that we won. To be honest with you, I just don't know how to feel about the game because it's a totally different feel. And me being from Nashville, you know, it's like playing Pee Wee football. The little trophies are participation. I'm ready for the big one. You know, when are they actually going to bring the big one? And to be 2-1 after three games, this is really that bad. I just want to hang up and listen to you.
Thanks. And 2-1 with the Colts at 0-3, and the Colts are underdogs against Miami. Then they play Baltimore, right?
Yep.
And the Titans have the Jets and the Jaguars. You're looking at a situation where the Titans could be 4-1 and the Colts could be 0-5.
Easy.
Think about that. Easy. And with the win over the Colts, Colts are in a tough spot. That's why they tried to get through with Carson Wentz. I wouldn't be surprised if he hit IR though. After
Carson,
that.
Yeah. He could barely walk at the end of
listen,
the game.
Listen, that last drive where he took off up the middle and then flipped it out to the running back and it was incomplete, normal Carson Wentz would have taken off and picked up the first
right
down there, but he couldn't move.
And the way he stopped, he was stopping on his heels like, oh, like, I don't want to put too much pressure.
Like he was trying to push the button on the thing, you know, around his neck.
Exactly. And then you look at the teams they played. Seattle, they're 1-2. They're really a good team, though.
Yeah.
Arizona. You see Arizona, 3-0.
The Jags had the lead on them.
For a minute,
like a hot second.
Yeah, even trash can't get a steak.
And then Arizona, like, looked at the scoreboard like, wait a minute, what just happened?
Said, that's our steak.
Let me get Bam in here real quick before the break, and then we'll get Buck Rising in here. Bam, what's up, man?
Yo, what's good, fam?
We're good, man.
Ron Slay, are you still in the building?
You better know it. I'm in the building.
Well, look, make sure you're in Bourbon Street building Friday night. Oh, man, I got something for you.
I say no more.
Hey, yo, look, check this out. This is what I wanted to bring to the table. All right, so A.J. Brown has this issue, okay? Now, my question is, are we – I'm cool with monitoring him from week to week. I knew from top, even though we had all the speculation around – well, not the hype. Let me say the hype around Julio, Derek, and AJ. I knew it was going to take some time for all that to come together. So I'm not really expecting to see all of the magic or the hype really click into like week 6-7. You know what I'm saying? To where Julio and Tannehill really got their chemistry going. Everybody got their feet wet. But with AJ down right now, are we really going to see what Julio has in the tank? Or do you think Mike is going to kind of manage, you know, keep him as isolated and kind of trying to make him healthy as possible? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's my question.
Continue the pitch count with him. I mean, yeah. I guess with the next two opponents, you have that ability to kind of take that risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, but with limiting Julio, even no matter what happens with that. And AJ, for those that haven't heard, is week to week, according to Adam Schefter, with a strained hamstring.
I think the brighter spot in that is you get to see what guys like Batson are going to do, what Rodgers are going to do, NWI, Westbrook Akina, what he's going to do. Like, you get to see these guys emerge. You got to see Pruitt at the end of the game make a big-time catch. So you get to see these guys emerging in these next games before these guys get back and get healthy.
Buck Rising from the Buck Rising Show and A to Z Sports coming up next. Stay tuned. 3HL 104.5 The Zone. Three 104.5 The Zone. Afro Man means it's time for Buck Rising. Before we get to Buck, real quick, Barrett Salee passing along a story from Alabama. Alabama man found sleeping in a press box amongst a pile of chicken fingers, chips, candy, and meth. Oh. And his mugshot, his eyes are wide open.
I can't eat, and I can't even really just be hot at him. Man, we're just tired after eating chicken and M&Ms. Like, sometimes you got to take a nap out of that, dog. It's like a sugar rush, and you just, like, got to crash.
You don't, isn't it like, what, isn't meth like a, doesn't that, like, get you going, though?
Yeah, I think it
is. Oh, they said he was on meth?
Wait, there was meth there. Meth was at his personal party.
Yeah, I'm sure it was his friends.
He was probably taking a nap, and then was like, man, I'll probably get on that after I get up. Or something, I don't know.
You're trying to explain away this guy, right?
I don't know why this was all.
What state did it happen in?
It happened in Alabama. That's going to shock a lot of
people. Oh, whatever.
Roll Buck time, Rising, oddly enough, joins us now on 3HL. Buck, what's up? How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. No meth or chicken fingers or chips or candy presently in the area, but I'm sure that I have some meth to spare, given that I'm actually from Indiana.
Yes.
I love that you're coming on and there's a football game. We're not talking about kickers. How about Randy Bullock with the field goal? I love it.
The silence is golden if you're a Titans fan. I'm sure everybody's very, very happy to not be talking about a game-winning kick or a game-losing kick or a hook or a shank or anything like that. Very, very solid, very, very calm, very serene. Where everything else was kind of a bleep show yesterday.
Well, while we're here, and we'll get to the bleep show, even though they won, while we're here, Thicken came off IR, right? So what do you do?
Well, you know, the battle now begins for the Titans kicking competition. I mean, again, I think that they're just going to stick with who they've got until such time as it blows up in their face, and kicking is apparently very, very not secure by any stretch of the imagination. So it's not Sam Ficken's fault that he got hurt the way that he did, but if they don't choose to go away from him, I don't think anybody's going to be surprised.
How about, let's start here. Ola Adeniyi. How about that dude on 29 snaps? Three quarterback hits, a sack and a half, another sack taken away from him because of a penalty, one tackle for a loss, four tackles. That's affecting a game right there.
Yeah, and so much so that I mean, he's played as much here as he has at any point in his career with the Steelers, and I don't know how many people listening to you guys heard him on J. Mark Ramon this morning, but he's very much earned the time through what he's been able to show at practice. I no longer feel that it's as big an indictment of Dylan Radin's that Ola Adeniyi was beating him regularly throughout the course of training camp, and we were all looking around like, what's this special teamer doing, kind of skunking the second-round pick? Turns out, no, it can be somewhere in the middle. It's not just outright Dylan Radin's fault, but yeah, they're designing defensive packages for him, and he's a part of their pass rush rotation. And I was actually watching a sit down with, or stand up, whatever you want to call it, with Mike Keith and John Robinson before yesterday's game from at some point in the week. And John actually talked a lot about Ola after the Seattle game. So, you know, he gets randomly drug tested by the NFL today because he's had a good couple of weeks. But it's nice for them that they have a rotational pass rusher, and not a moment too soon because they don't have Rashad Weaver at all to help in that regard.
Did he get tested because he fell asleep in the press box with a bunch of chicken wings?
Well, no, because apparently he had too much meth to fall asleep.
I love it. Yeah, so you said it was an S show, but they did get a win against a divisional opponent. The head coach was pretty funny today, honestly, and we'll get to Julio. But I thought the question, I think, by John Glennon about Chester Rogers not returning kicks anymore, does that help him on the punt return deal? And he's like, well, it helps him not get himself killed, I thought was a great answer.
Yeah, Mike, a little chippy the last couple of media availabilities, and you know, no doors were slammed today at St. Thomas Sports Park where they were coming out of the post-game press conference room last night. And
he explained I mean, he had a reason for that. Didn't he have a reason for that? Didn't he explain that? He was trying to get out of there quickly.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Like, I'm not shocked that Mike Vrabel was pissed off that they had dumb penalties and they had bad turnovers and they're only better than Jacksonville through 3 weeks of the NFL season as it relates to turnover differential, which means the defense isn't turning the ball either for all of the times that the offense is giving it up. They're currently minus six, until such time as the Eagles and the Cowboys play. And, of course, NFC East football doing what it does. I'm sure there's going to be a fumble or two. But, It was clunky. I mean, it was not an easy, comfortable win for them, where everything throughout the course of the week, and we talked about this, all of us, at length, it should have been theirs to take fairly easily, given all of the things that the Colts are currently working through. Their quarterback physically couldn't move yesterday. Yeah, I don't know if everybody or if people saw the picture of him that I tweeted out that our buddy George Walker at the Tennessean took, where he's just slumped over like the Popeye's chicken sandwich lady from serving too much Popeye's chicken sandwiches. He had a hard day out there yesterday. So the Colts should have been easier to kill, but it's never easy, and it's a divisional game. It doesn't matter. You won.
Yeah, that last part right there, Buck, that's the key to it, man. It's a divisional game. It's a rival. This would be different if we were talking about Houston and Jacksonville, but with the Colts, man, it's just something else about those guys.
No. I mean, listen, this is the bad guy for the Titans fans. This is the perpetual haunting of Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck and, you know, even Jacoby Brissett and Phillip Rivers and all these other bad Colts quarterbacks that Titans fans have seen their team lose to before. So for Mike Vrabel, for the first time now in year four of his tenure, to be able to beat the Colts at home in front of a pretty packed house. It was a good environment yesterday at Nissan Stadium, which I don't know that it, I shouldn't say surprised me, but it, I was kind of curious to see how people would show up after week one against Arizona and what a letdown that was. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a Titans fan, you feel very, very good about putting the Colts in the grave at 0-3 before even October. And that's something that they're going to spend the rest of their season trying to dig out of, and they probably aren't capable of doing that.
You never know. They've done it before. I know it's different personnel, but I'm just saying. Bud Dupree, where are we with Bud? What's going on?
So, you know, it's funny because Mike Vrabel was talking about this on Friday, and basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but the quote was something to the effect of, yeah, we're kind of still working through how we manage Bud off the ACL on a day-to-day, week-to-week type situation. And yesterday, it just so happened that they couldn't have Derek Roberson active because he has not been practicing due to injury, so he was not available for the game. And the Rashad Weaver, who broke his his right fibula during the game yesterday, right at the end of the third quarter, he goes down. So you're riding perilously thin with your outside linebacking core because you don't have anybody on the practice squad available to you. And I asked him in the postgame press conference. I asked Mike, and I got a four-word answer, four or five-word answer, unavailable there in case of emergency. And that was the thing. So Bud apparently wasn't good enough to go yesterday, but good enough to have him active on a roster spot in case things really, really got bad. And
see,
it got
weird.
Close
I
to
mean,
that.
It, I know. Like, you don't have another option there if he – I mean, it just – that's weird to me.
Well, and it's not even the weirdest player. It may be injury situation, not injury situation thing that we're going to talk about today. Because Bud, you know, I don't think any of us noticed until, like, towards the end of the first quarter, we're like, wow, Ola's playing an awful lot. And then we look out there, and Bud's just chilling there. He doesn't have his helmet on. So I don't know what they were saying about it on the television broadcast, but we're looking around, and I'm Teron Davenport is looking up snap counts in real time and be like, oh, Bud hasn't played today. That's odd. And what's even weirder is to have an active game day roster spot taken up by a player who didn't play.
That's my weirdness.
I don't remember them even addressing Bud Dupree on the television broadcast, which is weird. But you're right. The weirdest situation, Julio Jones, and again on the television broadcast, they said the Titans tell us it's not an injury situation. So they would bring it up every once in a while. Oh, he grabbed his helmet, that kind of thing. What did you guys know in the press box about that situation?
Less, because there was no injury designation, right?
Yeah.
So, and I went back and watched the TV copy today, and on that fourth quarter drive with the score, what was it, 14-13 before the McNichols touchdown pass, where they're in the red zone and they're out there with Nick Westbrook-Akina and Racy McMass and Cam Batson and Chester Rogers. And Julio's just chilling on the sideline. And James Lofton, who was the color analyst yesterday for CBS, was like, I don't know why Julio Jones isn't in the game. I understand giving guys rest, but this is a one-point lead over a division opponent in the red zone, and you're in a passing set without your best player, with A.J. Brown already ruled out for the rest of the game. But CBS said they checked with the Titans. They didn't give an injury designation. Mike didn't say anything, but that they kind of decided during the game to kind of put him on ice, which made even less sense until he kind of expanded on that a little bit and said that there was tightness, but apparently not enough tightness to give him any kind of injury designation. So I don't know what happened there or if they're skirting dangerously close to violating league policy about what they're reporting on injuries or not. But, I mean, without any evidence to that effect, it just seems like they kind of in-game managed Julio Jones for future weeks, which is crazy if that's actually how that went down. But that's what they kept saying. So we're all looking at each other in the press box like, I mean, we're on damn helmet watch the entire time. Okay, Bud's got a helmet. He doesn't have a helmet. Julio has his helmet. He's got his helmet on. Why isn't he in the game? It was a mess, and, you know, Mike, of course, wants nothing to do with it because it may or may not have something to do with an injury.
Could the Jets game be a trap game?
No. if they lose this game to the New York Jets, as hapless and as useless as they've looked, God bless Corey Davis. It's been miserable there. If they lose this game, they are worthy of all of the scorn and all of the fun that we will make of them because the Jets suck right now.
It's still a freaking NFL team.
Nah.
All right.
I told you not to worry about this one.
Well,
don't worry about this one either.
You could have worried about this
one. Don't even worry about the next one.
All right. We'll see.
Season starts later now.
What are you worried about, Dawn? What scares you about the Jets? Make my day.
Quarterback?
What, the one that keeps throwing interceptions to everybody?
Guess what? There's going to be a time where it clicks for him. Like, the guy is...
Like Joe Milton.
The guy is football junkie.
He never get to click.
Studies like, at some point, the speed is going to click.
Saying. But the speed can't click if he's out there getting buried. Him and Justin Fields both yesterday.
I mean, that is fair. That's a fair comment.
He's been sacked 15 times in three games.
Oh,
yeah. Two touchdowns, seven interceptions, completing 55% of his passes.
But they don't have a run game either, because Michael Carter leads the team in rushing with 89 yards in three games.
Oof. Yeah, it's listen, that you are and watch, it'll completely work to the adverse at this point now that we've talked about it. But I mean, the Titans pass rush, not just Ola, what they're helping create for Ola because of the interior pressure, mm-hmm. because of how well Autry and Simmons are playing together and off one another. Harold Landry, you know, even if you're box score scouting, you know that Harold was affecting the quarterback yesterday. And that one couldn't move. This one's different. He can move, but he doesn't. He's having to run for his life back there because they cannot stop anybody in front of him. It sets up too well for a team that has a desperate need to create turnovers and a quarterback that's throwing them all over the place because he just doesn't have any help. He's a young quarterback on a bad football team, and he's going through what a lot of these guys do when they come into the league as a high draft
pick. They're asking him to push the ball down the field too, which is maybe to Don's point, maybe at some point they'll quit doing that. I don't know, but they don't have a run game. So, and here's the other thing. They have no interceptions on defense. That's pretty amazing. Although that does sound familiar. What did Mike Vrabel say? The right tackle leads the team in forced fumbles.
Hey, yeah. I was saying earlier, I feel like Mike Vrabel usually says what he wants to say, but I feel like even more so now, he gives zero you-know-whats.
Oh, sure, because now, you know, they pooped their pants in front of everybody on week one, and now they're 2-0 since then, and everybody doubted us, and talk about your teammates, and, you know, everybody's going to contribute. We don't care where you come from. And all of that is fine and well. Those can be galvanizing moments internally for a football team. But also, he's just looking at us like, you mother bleepers, like you. for how bad it looked after the first week and how they see. Now, there will be other times when they have letdowns, and this is how a football season ebbs and flows. So, like, I don't blame Mike for the way that he's kind of looking at this. If in fact he's looking at this the way that it feels like he is, but yeah, I mean, he's all this stuff does is further entrench him in his opinion, because he went out there, won a football game on offense with Nick Westbrook, Akina, Chester Rogers, Cam Batson, and Jeremy McNichols. What you got?
Yeah.
This is pretty amazing. I was just looking, the Titans have one turnover on defense that they've received, and the Jets have two. Like, something's got to give.
Yeah. It's a battle.
The Jets are right there. So it goes the Jets, the Titans, and then the Jags as far as turnover differential is concerned. Minus five, minus six, and then minus eight for Urban Meyer and that particularly miserable-looking team down there in the AFC South.
Buck Rising with us, presented by Buddy Allen Carpet One.
Indeed. You will not be miserable if you choose to get your flooring work done with our friends at Buddy Allen Carpet One. Full service flooring company. They will work to make sure that you are satisfied with whatever it is that you're working on in your home, whether you're trying to redesign a bathroom, looking at hardwood over carpet, or vice versa. They have it all. BuddyAllenCarpet1.com is where you should go. You will not be sad that you did.
There he is, Buck Rising on the Mark Payne Real Estate Hotline. Thank you, Buck. Appreciate you, man.
I liked your suit, by the way.
Thank you, Dawn. I looked great yesterday. I don't know why people are so bothered by the idea that a suit isn't black or blue for once in their life. God forbid you have a little color.
That's right.
You said you looked
okay to be a little loud.
You said you looked hot.
I did look hot. Are you kidding me? I wouldn't go that far. I looked like yesterday.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Time for a break.
See you, Buck.
Bye, friends.
We'll be right back. This week,
I'm not saying he looked hot.
We'll take an early look at this week's point spreads on 104.5 this time. Oh. 3HL 104.5 The Zone. Ryan Clark just tweeted, Derrick Henry finished runs with bad intentions from the very start of the game Sunday. Dude, there was like, you go back and watch the game, the offensive line was working.
Yes,
the Colts were working hard too. They had a lot of dudes in the box.
Yep.
But there were like some really violent, like 4-yard plays. And Derrick Henry getting Darius Leonard.
Oh.
That was gold.
See, I almost made a video, but I was watching a lot of games at the time. But I was gonna tell him, man, look, dude, all you had to tell him was, "Welcome to Tennessee, man. Welcome to Tennessee." And we like shoulder down here with our barbecue, so take his shoulder. Just shoulder sandwich.
We like shoulder with our barbecue.
Yeah, buddy. Sauce on this shoulder.
I do not know what Titans fan cheered for more, the actual touchdowns or any time Derrick Henry laid a lick or a stiff arm.
What about when they threw that one pass out to him when he was lined up wide and that corner was lined up off him? And, I mean, that was low-key really good stiff arm right there.
Yeah, it was two arms. It was one, then I switched the ball over, I give you two.
And then the defender just sat there for a second, like, seriously. Like, yeah. I mean, he just sat there looking like, man, I know what just happened.
Nah,
that was a two-piece dinner?
Yeah, no biscuits. Yeah, it was.
Did he knight that guy? Put him in the
In
the king's court?
Yes, he most definitely got crowned. Yes, right, he did.
I figure out who that. Mm-hmm. I think that was that corner that was hurt. Why is the name escaping?
That
hadn't played, yep, and then
they stopped picking on him.
And Todd Furman was like, "This is a kind of a key," mm-hmm, and then he ended up playing. He's he took
what's
one.
What's the boy name, man? Come on.
This week's point spreads. Early look here, as Slay said, he was spread out yesterday with the parlays.
Xavier Rhodes, which
will happen Friday. By the way, we're at Buffalo Wild Wings tomorrow in Gallatin. So Gallatin, hey, tell your mama, tell your uncle, your grandma, everybody.
Aunties, everybody.
Come on. Get you some wings and some beer. And the Ron Slay Miller Lite beer toast tribute.
You don't want to miss that, man. You don't want to miss that.
At 4:45.
Can we change the name?
I don't know. We can name it anything you want.
The Miller Lite Wash Away.
The Miller Lite Wash Away?
That's what we're doing.
Ole Miss at Alabama. Bama by 14.5. Tennessee at Missouri. Missouri by 3. Florida at Kentucky. Just an 8-point spread there. Vanderbilt, a 14-point favorite over 0-5 UConn.
There you go.
Not touching that one. LSU and Auburn, 8 o'clock kickoff. LSU by 3.5.
So late.
Where at?
It's in Death Valley.
Cincinnati at Notre Dame. Cincinnati, a 2.5-point favorite on the road. Michigan, a 1-point favorite at Wisconsin. I'm done with the Badgers. Screw them. Tennessee at the Jets. Tennessee, a 7.5-point favorite. Currently, get it now. It's going to go up.
Oh,
wow.
I'm going to hurry up.
Indianapolis at Miami. Miami by 1.5. Nice. Jacksonville, a 7.5-point dog at Cincy. Houston, a 17.5-point underdog at Buffalo.
17.5. That might be one of the biggest lines I've seen.
Tampa
in the NFL.
That's a huge NFL line. Tampa at New England. The return of Tom Brady to Foxborough. Tampa, a 6-point favorite against the Patriots. Are we out?
That's going to be fun.
We out.
Mike Vrabel Show is next.
We out.
Later.
See ya. Tighten up.